I'll fight the elements. I'll fight the elements. I got spirit, I got faith.
So today we want to begin a brand new series called Diverse City, or if you want to put it together, Diversity or Diverse City. We're embracing each other's differences. How many of you guys, you can look around and say, you know what, we're a little different, right? Different is good, amen. Different is good. And so we're going to be looking at it this morning. And the title of this one is, We Are Better Together. We are better together. Amen. So I think of this Latin phrase, and perhaps you heard it before. It's Sol Deo Gloria. It means glory to God alone. Glory to God alone. We were created in the image and likeness of God to be image bearers here on the earth, all for the glory of God. Amen. And so each one of us in this room are a different expression of who God is. If none of us are the same, we are all uniquely made. God formed us in our mother's womb, right? He gave us, each and every one of us, our own uniqueness. And he says, it is good. Amen. Whenever the Lord made you, he said, it is good. All right. So we are uniquely made. Now, I believe that the reason we are all different and we're not all the same is because if we are one expression of God's glory, I believe that God is so multifaceted and so awesome and so incredible that one person could not capture the entirety of God's glory. That's why we have multiple people who look multiple different ways, who do multiple different things. And throughout the Bible, we see some of the same types of things. And Moses, for example, he was a great leader who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. We go to David, who was a worshiper, but also a warrior. And then we look at people like Samson, who was filled with incredible strength. We look at Daniel, who was a man of prayer and wisdom, who said, you know what, I'm going to remain faithful to the Lord. Even though they said I can't pray, I'm going to open up my doors and pray to the Lord. And so from all these different men and even women in the Bible, we get a different story. We get a different glimpse of God and his delivering power in the earth. It's a different expression of who God is. Amen. And we look at the New Testament, where John was often found laying his head on Jesus' chest. From that, we learn that we can have an intimate relationship with the Lord, that we can be personal with the Lord. We look at Peter, who led 3,000 to Christ. And we look at Paul, who was a forerunner for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The list goes on and on and on. And not one person could capture all of those different things at once. And so therefore, God created multiple looking different people. And each one of us are an expression of God's glory. Amen. We are an expression of God's glory. But the goal whenever we come into a corporate setting is that we would be one body. We're still individuals. We're still uniquely made as an individual. But when we come together in the Lord's house, we are one body. John chapter 17, verse 20 to 22 speaks about this, talks about oneness. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. So that the oneness that is shared between Jesus and the Father is the same oneness that he is desiring that each and every one of us would walk in. The Lord is desiring that his church would walk in unity and oneness. And so we are many different individuals coming together in a corporate setting, and we are to be one. Amen. And so whenever he says, look, there's people, he's looking at his disciples whenever he's saying this, and he says, look, I'm looking to bring in others. Who's the others he's talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the circumcision, the uncircumcision. He's talking about the clean. He's talking about the unclean. Jesus is coming for them all. If Jesus came to die for every single person, amen, he came to die for everyone, for Asians, for Africans, for Americans, for Europeans. He came to die for us all. And so with Christ, we must understand that. We must understand that his love is towards everyone and that he willingly gave up his life, came to the earth to die for each and every one of us. Now, before we can begin to accept each other's differences in others' uniqueness. We must first look at ourselves and be comfortable and content with the fact of who God made you. You must accept the fact that God made you unique, that whenever he thought of you, he formed you. He was intentional about your design. He thought about how he wants to make you, and he made you you. All right? And so that's what makes us all very unique. And you know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we see an example of this. He says to the prophet Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." He tells Jeremiah, look, even before you were born, I already knew what you were going to look like. I already knew your purpose for your life. I already knew you, and I formed you. I created you the way that you are, intentionally, on purpose. The Lord did not mess up whenever he created you. The Lord does not make junk, amen? Whenever he created the earth, he says, it is good. It is good. In Exodus 4, 10 through 11, Moses was kind of questioning God's design for his life. The Lord had asked him to do a pretty hard thing, to deliver the Israelites from the hand of Egypt. He tells the Lord this, he says, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." How many guys, we tend to make excuses. Well, I'm not this person. I'm not that. I don't have this going for me. God, you surely can't use me because look at all my flaws. Look at all my inadequacies. Look at how messed up I am. The Lord says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? I made you the way that I wanted to make you, and I'm asking you to do something that I'm wanting you to do. I don't need excuses. I'm just needing a yes, Moses,' is what he's wanting." Moses had to embrace the fact that, yes, he had a speech impediment. Yes, that he was not the greatest speaker of all time. That's who God made him to be, and God was asking him to walk in obedience. That's the way the Lord made you to be. It doesn't matter what flaws you have, what inadequacies you feel like you have. The Lord made you that way. Don't make excuses. Be obedient to his purpose. We read the scripture before, but I'll read it again, Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So God created you differently than the next person, and he did so on purpose, all right? He was intentional about the way that he made you, and you are a unique expression of the glory of God on the earth. And so if we spend our whole life trying to be like so-and-so, we will miss the unique calling that God has for our own individual lives. Amen. We can spend so much time, well, I got to be like him and I got to be like her. Be you. Be the you that God created you to be. And that's all that he is asking you to do. Amen. So we must embrace our own uniqueness. We must. Sometimes I'm a little clumsy. And my wife would say, amen. You know, I embrace my clumsiness. Amen. I'm clumsy. Great. You know what? Hopefully I can make a fool out of myself so that someone else could prosper and benefit. You know, maybe I put a smile on people's face whenever I trip over myself. I don't know. But, I'm going to embrace that. That's a part of who I am. You know, and it's you've got to learn to embrace your uniqueness. That the Lord did not mess up whenever he created you. The Lord does not make junk. The Lord was intentional about your design. Amen. So now that we are learning to embrace our uniqueness, the way that God made us, your awkwardness, whatever it may be, then we're in a better position to then love one another and accept their differences as well. Mark 12:31, one of the greatest commandments, the second greatest commandment that Jesus says, he says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." There is no other commandment greater than these. The first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you were to love your neighbor as yourself, first you must love yourself, right? You must accept the fact that God created you to be you. so that in turn you can then love your neighbor. So the second point of this is learn to appreciate each other's differences. Learn to appreciate each other's differences. You know, we're different. We're as you have made a confession before the Lord, you are a Christian, you are a believer, guess what? We're brothers, we're sisters, we're family. And whether you like it or not, you're stuck with me, right? Because I plan on being a Christian for the rest of my life. I plan on living for the Lord for the rest of my life. And if you plan on doing the same thing, guess what? We're going to spend eternity together, so you might as well start to get to like me right now. We're going to be together for quite some time. We have to learn to appreciate each other's differences. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 10, he says, "But you are a chosen race." Now, as we go through the scripture, I want you to just look at how many times the word "a" or the singularity of this verse sticks out as we go through this. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so the emphasis is oneness. You are a people. Amen. You are a priesthood. The Lord has called you. You used to not be a people. You used to be living your own way. But now, because of Christ, because of his grace, because of his mercy on your life, you are one with the body of Christ Jesus. You are one. You are a people. Now, I like what Dr. Tony Evans says about this. He has this idea about kingdom race theology, right? And he describes kingdom race theology as the reconciled recognition, affirmation, and celebration of other divinely created ethnicities through which God displays his multifaceted glory as his people justly, righteously, and responsibly function personally and corporately in unity under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Learning to recognize one another, learning to affirm one another, learning to celebrate one another's differences, because ultimately we were created by God for his glory. Amen? Now, in the body of Christ, again, I said we are many different individuals, but we come together as one. I actually have a bow that's already kind of prepared. I don't know if you've seen that. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Give it up to my wife, man. She's awesome. Pastor's wife, she goes through a lot. Keep her in prayer all the time. Amen. I'm very appreciative for her. Now, it's kind of like we're talking about the body of Christ, and I like to refer to this ice cream. Anybody like Neapolitan ice cream? I mean, it's like a little mixture of everything, right? You got a little chocolate, a little strawberry, a little vanilla. I mean, doesn't this look pretty good, right? I hope so, because I'm about to eat this in front of you. And so so here we go. Watch. Yeah, I will. So, like, just a little vanilla real quick. Right. I wish you could have this, but unfortunately you can't, right? But, man, let me try some of this. The strawberry right here. It's really good, right? Oh, man. But whenever you start adding other things to it, like a little caramel, right? You guys love some caramel, right? Oh, man, we're just going to drizzle. better together. Amen. We're so much better together. I mean, like, the flavors all come together and makes this really awesome ice cream. And you guys are like drooling over this ice cream right now. And you're like, man, give me some of that ice cream. For $5, you can have one scoop after service. I'm just picking. Man, this is Scarlet Scoop prices. Anyway. So in the body of Christ, we all have our uniqueness. And we all come together as one body. And our lives are enriched whenever we come together. Amen. Whenever we come together with our differences, our different nationalities, our different ethnicities, our different backgrounds, whether we're rich or poor, our different occupations, we are enriched by one another. Amen. And it's just like this ice cream, which is so yummy. I plan on finishing that after service. Missy Beth's like, are you sure? Now, I mentioned earlier that we might as well get to know each other and get to appreciate each other's differences, because we're going to spend eternity together forever. In the book of Revelation 7, 9 through 12 talks about this. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Did you get this? John is given a vision, and he's given a picture of what heaven is going to be like. And in this picture, in this vision, he sees distinction. He sees different languages. He sees different peoples, different tribes, different nations. Have you ever thought and contemplated about the fact that much of who God made you to be on this earth will continue to be in the next life? Have you ever considered that? Think about the life of Jesus. Before he was crucified, and then after he rose from the grave, he had a glorified body, and he revealed himself to his disciples. And at first, many of them didn't recognize him, but then they recognized him and said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. This is Jesus. And they begin to tell all their friends and all the people, the Lord is risen. Come and see him. Why? Because they recognized him. He looked very much like he looked before. Amen. But in a glorified state. Because, again, we go back to the very thing that we started with. You are an expression of God. And so, therefore, whenever you pass on from one life to the next life, that expression of God will continue. So, John, he gets a revelation of heaven, and he sees distinction. He says, yeah, there are many people from many different nations worshiping God. What a beautiful and incredible thing. How glorious God is. How much glory is God worthy of, amen, to bring all these different nations together. Now, if that rubs you the wrong way, you need to search your heart. You need to search your heart. Because I get a letter from the Voice of the Martyrs every month, and they tell me if all the brothers and sisters who are coming to Christ all over the world, in China, homes are being raided, pastors are being, you know, beaten, and all these different things. And they are making a stand for Jesus in China, the underground church. I guarantee you that we're going to have our Chinese brothers and sisters in heaven because of their stand for Christ. And if that offends you, if that rubs you the wrong way, then you have prejudice in your heart. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Asians are being saved. Muslims are being saved. Arabs are being saved. Many people from many different nations coming together in heaven worshiping our God. And so if any of this rubs you the wrong way, you need to ask the Lord to help you. And if you have unwarranted hatred in your heart, you don't even know why you hate a certain people group, it's probably a generational thing. It's been passed on from one generation to the next generation. And you don't even know why you hit a certain group. You need to break that generational curse. You need to break that generational mindset. Amen. We're all brothers. We're all sisters in Christ. Amen. We might as well learn to appreciate one another and appreciate one another's differences, because we're going to spend a long time with them. Amen. A long time. Like, God's not even limited to time. Think of eternity. Think about the fact that God always was and always will be. A trillion years ago, God was. A trillion years from now, God will always be. It's a long time, so you best get to know each other, and you best get to appreciate each other now. Now, I must say, you know, I'm thankful for this church, because we look around, and it is a diverse crowd, amen? It is a picture of what heaven is going to be like, amen? And while I feel like we do a pretty good job of this, I believe we can even do better. Amen. A couple of questions I want to ask you. When was the last time you had a conversation with someone of a different ethnic background? Do you only hang out with people who are like you? And why is that? Have you recently had someone over to your house who has a different skin color than you? Oh, now I got quiet. Do you act differently in front of your friends when approached by someone of a different skin color? Paul had this happen to him. Peter, in fact, was the culprit. Peter, he has his ups, he has his downs. Probably more downs than ups. But Peter, okay, he's saved, he's a disciple and everything. But we find a story in Galatians 2, 11 through 14. It says, but when Cephas, whenever it says Cephas, we're talking about Peter, one of the disciples of Christ, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. Now, this is Paul writing this. Because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like a Jew? Do you see this picture? Peter is doing a good thing at first. He's breaking down walls, and he's eating with the Gentiles. That's a really excellent thing, because up to this point, the Jews and the Gentiles had no dealings with each other. The Jews considered the Gentiles to be dogs, to be unclean, to be unworthy of salvation. Peter does something pretty remarkable, and he sits down, and he's having a meal with them, up to the point where his Jewish friends come from Judea, and then all of a sudden, he gets up. He walks away from his Gentile friends. He goes sit with his Jewish friends. And the Jews that were with Peter also get up and leave the Gentiles and go with Peter. Paul made sure that he called them out on this. He says, but when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? He said, man, you're wanting these Gentiles to act like Christians, to act like believers, but then you're acting like the world whenever they come into your presence. Whenever you're embarrassed to be around them, you're ashamed of what your Jewish friends will think. Whenever Jesus died for the Gentiles, Jesus came and gave his life for the Gentiles. So before we too hard on Peter, let's look at our own lives. You're hanging out with your friends. You're talking, you're having conversation. Someone from another ethnic background, someone from a different skin color, someone who's different than you comes to your group. How do you respond? Do you act like you don't know them? Here's the thing. We have to look at our hearts and see if there's any prejudice in our hearts. We need to ask the Lord to remove it. And if it's generational, if you can trace it back to your parents and even your great-grandparents and their parents, it's a generational mindset that needs to be broken. Because Christ came to die for us all. Amen. Amen. we're going to accept your own uniqueness, the way that God created you to be. Amen. Perhaps you struggle with that, but that's a real struggle in your life. You need to accept who God created you to be. Amen. And that you are unique and you are created that way on purpose. By God, He has a plan for you. Then we're going to learn to appreciate each other's differences. We're going to embrace ethnicity. We're going to embrace difference. We're going to embrace this. We're going to celebrate, as Tony Evans says. We're going to affirm one another and celebrate our differences. In fact, that's why we have this food at the service today. You can kind of taste what Nicaragua is like. You can kind of taste what the Philippines are like. You can kind of taste these different backgrounds. And we're going to celebrate one another. We're going to search our hearts. If there's any prejudice in our hearts, we're going to ask the Lord to remove it. And we're going to break those generational mindsets. Amen. This message spoke to you in one way or another. Would you stand to your feet? We're just going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, would you move in this place? God, would you come and do what only you can do, oh Lord? God, if there's any prejudice in our hearts, Lord, would you remove it? Would you expose it? And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us, Lord Jesus, for not walking in unity as we should, for not embracing each other as we should, for not celebrating one another as we should. Help us, Lord, to be better, because we are better together, Lord. But when all of our uniqueness as individuals comes together in a corporate body to display the glory of God in a city, in a church, Lord, great things can happen. Lord, we are better together. Help us, Lord, to be one, just as you and the Father are one. We ask, God, that you would search our hearts right now, expose anything, God, that is not pleasing unto you. God, we repent. And Lord, if anyone is standing in this place and they just really need to break that generational mindset, God, we just pray for them right now. We stretch out their hands. God, we just break that thing right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it's broken off of our lives. We will not be a people of hatred. We will not be a people who are racial. Racist. We will not be a people, Lord God, who are divided, but we will be one, just as you have created us to be one. We will be one kingdom of God. And we thank you, Lord, that there's not going to be a Chinese heaven. There's not going to be a black heaven, a white heaven, a Hispanic heaven. There's going to be the kingdom of heaven, and it's going to be filled with multiple different people worshiping around the throne of God and lifting up our voices as one. Prepare us even now for that, Lord. Lord, let us have a taste of heaven here on earth, Lord God, as we choose to embrace each other's differences. We love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place, in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen.
Hey, just look at that sermon. Examine your heart. Make sure you stop at the tables. The food is going to get out there. So make sure you go get some food. It's going to be yummy. I think we have some Dutch food too as well. So we're going to try to get that really, really quickly outside. Y'all go stand by the tables, and we got that for you guys. In Jesus' name.